Hey ho, hey ho, it's the Sharp Tongue Podcast, live from the road. I am on the road. Yes, I am. Traveling. And boy, what an eventful adventure it's been. I'm here with Carlin, Chaplin, Bunny, my mom. I picked her up in St. Louis this morning. We drove from St. Louis to Nashville. Now we're at our Airbnb in Nashville. So much has occurred. I don't even know where to begin. I feel like it's its own podcast. So much has happened in the past 12 hours that involves bees, wineries, carjackings, police, wallets being lost. All of that has occurred in the past, I don't know, 16 hours. Needless to say, you got to improvise while you're on the road. That's one thing I will say for anyone out there who wants to travel, do a cross-country trip, especially as a woman alone. I don't think any woman should be allowed to travel without taking a defense course first. Did I mention this is a Sharp Tongue Podcast? I probably should mention that first. Shout out to our sponsors, Absolute Extracts. If you guys go to ease.com and purchase any Absolute Extract product, use code JessieMay for 15% off your entire order. That's ease.com. Weed delivery made easy. I don't know if that's their slogan. I just made it theirs. It sounds like it's already somebody's slogan, so I might be stealing it from another weed delivery company. But Absolute Extract, shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for the love. Shout out to Hakuna Supply. If you guys want my stash boxes, I've got grinders, rolling trays, half-ounce jars with my face on them. I've got stash boxes. A portion of your sales will go towards the World Wildlife Foundation, towards Absolute Extracts. It'll go towards Alzheimer's Association. HakunaSupply.com/JessieMay. And if you use code JessieMayCBD, you can get 15% off your entire order there as well. They also sell CBD coffee. They sell CBD teas. I just finished my CBD coffee 2 days ago. It's delicious. I drink it myself. And their CBD extract is delicious as well. I also use that. And where am I going to be performing? This week, I'm going to be in Charlotte. Actually, Raleigh. I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to be at the William Peace University on Thursday. DM me. I'm giving away a small amount of tickets to some super fans. September 6th, I will be at UNC in Charlotte, North Carolina. September 7th, I'll be at Lucy's Lounge in Pleasantville, New York. And then I'll be at, Albright College, I think September 11th, I believe. September 10th, Tuesday, Albright College, that's in Reading, Pennsylvania. I'll also be at Scranton University September 12th, KC Improv September 19th, and University of Kansas September 20th. I'll also be swinging around at the end of my world tour to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Prescott. That'll be on September 27th. So all the college gigs are just for college students. I am reserving a small amount of tickets for super fans. So if you guys, you can DM me or email me, even better, at sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to win tickets to come see me at one of my college gigs. And as always, jessiemay.com for all things Jessie May. And please, I would love to hear your thoughts on the podcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes. I appreciate all of your words. And also, don't forget to send in your submissions for this bitch to have stories featured about people who drive you nuts. Could be family members, kind of like my mom crinkling a bag right now in the kitchen. It could be about your boyfriend, your coworker, your boss, your best friend, your girlfriend, your cousin, somebody who drives you nuts, who did you wrong. Someone who drives you nuts and who did you wrong, I will give you advice on the podcast. Send me the story at sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com. In the subject, put this bitch, and I'll solve all of your problems. Because that's what I do. I'm a problem solver. Back to survival. The road is difficult, and I'm on the road by myself, but I highly recommend traveling with a pit bull. I have one. He's not necessarily the most aggressive dog, depending on which end you're facing. So if he's had a bunch of meat and cheeses, you're in danger. Okay? If he's hungry, you might be in danger. Okay? Look, I'm not going to tell you his temperament, because that's for me to know and for, you know, rapists and attackers to find out. But I will tell you, his asshole is dangerous. It is aggressive. It's violent. So I will use it if I feel threatened. That's what I'm saying. I will use his asshole for survival if I have to. And I think that's my right as a woman. It's just, you know, as a woman in society, it's such a survival. Like, I feel like dudes don't really have to think about who's coming out from behind a dumpster at midnight. Maybe I'm wrong. That's what happened to me last night. I know it's not funny, but like, just the sequence of events that happened within the past 16 hours has been comical. It really feels like my mom and I are on our own Netflix movie, and everything that keeps happening, I'm just like, what's going to happen next? It starts with me watching this movie with Olivia Wilde, who I love, an independent movie called The Vigilante, which is about a woman who barely survives the abuse, physical and emotional abuse of her husband, gets away, and in turn uses her pain and her past to fuel her to help women who are in similar situations. And she's known as the Vigilante, and she just fucks dudes up who are physically abusing their women. And I'm not saying men don't get abused emotionally and physically. It's just a lot different. It's just a lot different because biologically dudes tend to be a little bit bigger. You guys are larger. You have that advantage over us. We're smarter, but that's the balance. Nature's balanced. So men, you don't have to really worry about an attack or an attacker or, you know, what lurks in the dark. Like, literally, women have boogeymen their whole lives. You dudes can grow out of it at 8 or 9 or 10, but women continue to have real life boogeymen that come out of the corners, from around the dumpster, from behind a tree, in broad daylight. It doesn't matter. Boogeymen do not, you know, they don't they don't care. They're not worried about if the light is out or if it's dark. You know, they're an equal opportunity attacker. That's basically what it is. They're not discriminating whether it's the sun is out or the moon is out. They don't give a fuck. And I feel like dudes are exempt from that experience. You guys don't have to worry about that. So I watched this movie that already made me freaked out, you know, about like dudes attacking women, because there's a scene where she gets attacked in a parking lot. So I'm already on high alert. I will say that. I'm already on high alert. And I go to this hotel. I drive from Kansas to St. Louis, which already is St. Louis. It's a unique place. It's like no other. The crime there is unique. The amount of crime, the frequency, the types. There's a lot of carjacking. There's a lot of streetwalkers and people on crack. It's an interesting city in that sense. You know, I lived in New York for over a decade, so I've seen a lot of different types of crime, especially accumulative within different neighborhoods and, you know, different socioeconomic statuses, like, you know, nice neighborhoods, bad neighborhoods. There's crime everywhere. But when you get into an area like St. Louis, it's a unicorn. It's a fucking crime unicorn, man. It's a hotbed. Try the barbecue, lock your doors. That should be St. Louis's slogan. Come for the barbecue, leave immediately after. So I get to the hotel. Already there's like three dudes, random dudes, like vagrants, walking around outside. It looked like a halfway house. Like, the hotel was okay. No, it wasn't. It was an extended stay America. Step up your game, extended stay America. Okay? In hotels tonight, step up your game. Forget about, you know, your bed rating and how many beds are in the bedroom and if they've got a gym or not. Let me know if a bitch is going to get attacked in the parking lot. Let me know the crime rate of the neighborhood, of the surrounding area. Okay, let me know survival tactics. How many yards is a police station? How far will my cry carry? How far will my blood curdling scream be heard? I need that radius. I don't give a fuck if they've got a hot tub. Is it a hotbed of crime? That's all I want to know. So I pull up, and you know, you get that gut feeling. I'm like, oh man, you know, what good is a gut feeling? Like, I should have listened to my gut. Sometimes I don't even listen to my gut, and that's my own fault, first of all. Second of all, I get in, it smells like mold. Bad sign. Hotels tonight. Where's the mold rating? So she goes to give me a key. She gives me a key, and I go to use it in the door. It doesn't work. I come down to let her know. She comes up, tries it herself. She's just jamming the key in and out, in and out, in and out. Doesn't work. She goes down. This bitch goes down. Chantel, shout out to Chantel, okay? I don't mean to call you a bitch. I mean it in the most endearing of terms. Just with all things considered, you were a sweetheart. If you should ever find this podcast and hear your name, you were a delightful human being. All things considered, it was just a horrible circumstance. It wasn't your fault. She goes downstairs to get batteries because the lock on the door, on the hotel door, didn't work. Just get your shit together, extended stay. Okay? The door lock should work. That's a basic human right. And she's up there fiddling with the batteries. I'm like, Chantel, I don't think this is our day. You know, I don't think this is the room. I think we should just accept the loss. Let's take the L and get another room. She's like, you're right. Gives me another room. I go to my room. I put the bags that I had on me in the room. I go back through the front door to pull the car around to the side door because I got the dogs. You know, I also am traveling with dogs. I told Chantel I had one. She doesn't need to know all my secrets. You know, I also have to survive out in these streets. I can't walk in a hotel with three dogs. They're going to send me to the nut house. Like, here's a lady. She's hoarding animals. She's got two ostriches and an aardvark in our hotel. So I go around to the side, park the car. I drop my bags off. I bring the dogs in to the room. And this is where those little decisions can be the things that sort of save your life, or at least deter you from having a horrible experience. So I drop my bags off in the room, and I'm thirsty and I'm hungry and there's nothing in this hotel. So I decide to bring the dogs with me because I'm in a weird neighborhood to go get water and food. I didn't want to leave them in the hotel room. So I got Bunny and Chaplin in a bag. Dogs in a bag, and Carlin on the leash. I walk out of the side door. Here comes the clown from It, from around the dumpster, and he goes, hey, miss. Hey, nice dog. Can I pet your dog? And I was like, no, 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 no. I literally go, no, not today. Don't fuck with me. Not today. That's what I said to him. Like it was just some made-for-TV Lifetime Network movie. Not today. Not me. Not now, not never. And he continues to walk after I say no. And all the fluids in my body are released. I shart, I squirt, tears are shed. My sweat glands have excreted all the sweat. I'm parched and sweating at the same time. My heart rate shoots through the roof. I feel that stranger danger ticking in my stomach. And I've got Carlin, and this dude's coming towards me. I get Carlin in the car quick. I get into the car. I fumble and lock the door. Like every bitch fumbles in all these movies. We always fucking fumble. We need to learn how to control the fumble because the fumble's what gets you fucking killed. So my mom and I were saying, you have to learn how to control the anxiety. You have to learn how to be calm in these moments. So I lock the door and he's still outside of my car like, Miss, can I pet your dog? Almost like a fucking vampire. Like if I had said yes, he just would have magically allowed himself into the car. What dude? Here's a rule for survival. If a man whom you've previously haven't been acquainted with asks you to do anything after 8 p.m., it's murder or rape. That's survival science. If any man comes up to you and asks, hey, do you want to see a photo? Hey, can I ask you a question? Hey, can you do me a favor? The answer to all of those questions is murder and rape. That's all you need to know to survive as a human, as a woman, as a cold-blooded. Are we cold-blooded, Mom? Are humans cold-blooded? We're warm as a warm... Nancy's screaming at me from... As a warm-blooded creature, that's all you need to know to survive. Well, you will be cold-blooded if you answer those questions with anything else other than, you know, a rape whistle. Forget the whistle. Forget the rape whistles. We need rape swords. We need machetes. We need rape Uzis. I've got a pocket knife. I don't know if I, you know, I'll do some damage if it's a dwarf. I'll tell you that much. I'll do some fucking damage. He came up to my car, asked to pet my dog, and I just peeled out. He continued to follow me as I backed my car out of the parking lot. Continued to follow me like some sort of crackhead zombie, which I'm sure he was. He probably was going to do something terrible to me. But luckily, I kind of controlled the fumble. I had a pit bull, which maybe if I didn't have the pit bull, he wouldn't have asked to pet it. Maybe it was just a retarded dude from behind a trash can who wanted to pet the dog. I don't know. It could have been somebody with some sort of mental retardation. I'm not sure. I'm not sticking around to find out. Because my mom used to babysit those kids and they even dry humped me. Remember Timmy, Mom? Timmy used to dry hump me. And it was not wanted, but I did it because I felt bad, you know? So there's a moral of the story. You have to survive in these streets as a woman, okay? Get your keys ready, get something sharp, and don't answer those questions. If any man asks you a question after 8 o'clock, the answer is fuck off. Not today, sir. And speaking of fucking off, look, so much stuff has happened in the past 12 hours. I'm going to save it for a whole podcast. I'll tell you about the police. I'll tell you about the bees and the winery and the wallet. All this stuff that happened will be a special podcast. It'll be on the next episode. I'll tell you more about the potential rapist. But for now, speaking of, you know, having a pocket knife, defending myself with a dwarf, I would like to tell you guys about our guest this week, a continuation of the Just for Laughs Festival special, where I was able to interview a bunch of my comedic friends that were out at the festival. You guys have heard Bonnie. I was going to say Bonnie Raitt. Not Bonnie Raitt, Bonnie McFarlane. We've had, who else have we had? We've had Alonzo Bowden. We've had Bobby Lee last week. We have Big J coming up. We had Dan Soder. So I'm very excited that I was able to sit down with one of my dear comedy friends, who's also, I can now finally say, I couldn't say it on the podcast while we were recording because it wasn't public yet and it's his news to tell, but he is expecting a baby, which is so exciting. And he's just a wonderful person. He's hilarious. He's a little person with a big personality. And you guys will love him. I'm sure you know him. You've seen him on a bunch of stuff. His comedy special, Daddy Issues. And he's been on everyone's TV show. And he tours all across the country. And I think, and beyond. Please enjoy the comedic stylings of Mr. Brad Williams. He wouldn't scare me outside of a dumpster. He's a gentleman. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's gonna get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Can you do the Taco Bell? We're here.
Oh, we're going?
And we're going.
So we should start off with me doing a racist voice, is what you're saying?
You do that, and then I'll read the first note that Katie sent on you to me.
Oh, the so first
you,
note.
Yeah,
Jesus.
She sent, so you
okay,
you
so we have Chaplin who was sitting in my lap.
Now he's
going
gone.
Bye-bye. But I like Chaplin sitting in my lap because then it gave... Like, it made me feel bigger. You know what I mean? Like, having a chihuahua just in my lap, like, yeah. This is what it's like when people pet a normal bulldog. Like, this is cool. I like this.
This is a Doberman.
It's cool. Yeah.
It's a giant dog.
It's nice. And then I'm staring at your dog just And I know it's so stereotypical, but I was just kept thinking of the Taco Bell dog, and our friend Carlos Alzaraki does the voice of just, yo quiero Taco Bell, you know, and just doing that. Here, lizard, lizard, lizard.
Oh, my God, from back in the day. Yeah. Here, lizard, lizard,
yes.
Lizard. Okay, so do you want the first note that Katie said?
What? Now, for those who don't know, your producer, Katie, is also the producer of my and Adam Ray's podcast, the About Last Night podcast. We share a producer.
We share a producer.
We are Eskimo brother and sister.
We basically, we're like podcast incestual.
Yeah.
And so, I saw how good she was doing with you guys. I'm like, yo, I need this girl in my camp.
Yeah.
And so like to help.
We've all been inside her.
She's been inside of our minds more than anybody.
Yep.
And because we've had like a bunch of recordings today, I was like, you know, send me just some stuff just in case.
Oh, man.
I need some. And so your first note.
The first note.
From somebody who knows
anxious.
You.
I'm real anxious
so
about
well.
This
and knows me and knows I know you.
Okay.
Your first note is, now it's titled Brad. Brad is the title of the note. It says, Brad.
Good title.
Is a dwarf.
You weren't supposed to say anything. What's wrong with you?
That's our first
note. That was in between. That was for us. That was in our private session. Oh, well, all right. Well,
and
I guess.
Was like, I thought I told you that we don't like that kind on this show.
I guess I have to take this podcast. This is going to be my apology tour podcast.
Let's start now. What's wrong with America?
Listen,
is
guys.
Little people.
I know. Back in the day, I was.
When I was young and not a kid anymore.
I was a dwarf.
You were a dwarf back then?
And I feel like I have to apologize now, much like now, like the politicians are coming out being like, I can't. My family owned slaves 300 years ago, so now I have to apologize because I was so instrumental in that happening. So yes, I have to apologize for being a dwarf.
Can I say something and you tell me if it's inappropriate?
It will be, but yes.
Dwarf babies are the cutest babies I've ever seen.
Oh, that's not inappropriate. That's just a fact. That's just
so,
a fact.
It's like right up there with babies with Down syndrome.
If you could have a dwarf Down syndrome baby who's also an amputee.
And Asian.
Oh!
Oh my God, and Asian.
Well, but see, here's what you're going to love is that my wife is Chinese and we're trying to have a kid so we could have an Asian dwarf baby.
I would love to babysit.
Yeah.
I really would.
We would not. We would like the kid to live.
Good point.
I want the kid.
I would probably get high and eat your snacks and forget I'm watching something that's alive.
Yeah. I want our future child to see its fifth birthday. So, you know, there's a lot of things I want to do, you know, watch him go to high school, right? Buy him a car. That's not going to happen if you babysit.
No, it's good that you know that. You're not even related to me. My sister, like, she let me babysit, but there was like three other adults there.
See, that
don't babysitting.
No, see, that almost makes me more worried is when there's multiple babysitters because then everyone just assumes someone else is watching the kid. I've had times.
That's what happens. That's when kids go missing.
Yeah. I've had times where I go over to my sister's house, who has two lovely children, and her and her husband invite me and my wife over, and then like one other couple. And then we're all sitting around talking, and then we have that moment where we're like, wait, who's watching?
Yeah, wait, where's the kid?
Oh, no. And you hear silence, and you're just like, oh no. This is not gonna go well.
That's what happens.
Yeah, and then you just walk in and like the kid, like one kid is like smearing shit on the face of the other, going, "I'm Picasso." You're like, excellent art history reference. But I think we need showers and shots.
Pink eyes are in our future.
Yeah. Showers and shots. That's gonna be my parenting style.
Showers and shots
all day.
Shots are inoculations and also alcohol free.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys
both
are trying to have children. That's wild.
Yeah, we're gonna have some kids.
That they're gonna be adorable.
Oh, they're gonna be so cute.
Are you prepared? Like, have you done any reading?
Listen.
Don't you think that's crazy that people don't study to be a parent?
No. And here's the thing. So someone asked me, like, do you think your wife is going to be a good mother? I'm like, she's taking care of me drunk.
Yeah.
That's pretty – you watch a dwarf who's drunk, that's pretty much like being a mom. You know, it's like a drunk toddler wandering around, putting his hands on things he shouldn't touch.
Falling.
Same thing.
Crapping his pants.
Yeah, same thing. Oh, I've done all those in the last 2 weeks.
That is hilarious.
So yeah, she's gonna be great. No, it was important to me to find when I asked my wife to be my wife. It was important to find someone who I know could be good with kids because we're comics. We're gone,
and we have to be selfish to keep the career going.
Yes, and we have to keep touring.
I take the gigs.
Yeah, she's like, so you're gonna be around a lot for the kids. I'm like, no, because see this roof. Someone's got to pay for that
shit. I have to leave for them to put the roof on.
Yeah. You see, oh man, the light switch just went on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I took that gig.
Yeah, it happens, you know? So I've got to do that. And I could not be with a woman who, when I'm on the road making the money, I can't be with a woman who's back home just like, what do I do? Like, I can't have that phone call.
I don't know what to do.
I wrote 2 dick jokes yesterday. Why
I'm exhausted.
Why are you looking at me for parental advice? No, I'm definitely going to be like fun dad.
Oh, you're gonna be a great dad.
She's gonna be like the dictator Asian mom who's just like, we don't accept B pluses in this house.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like
a perfect blend though.
Yeah,
the discipline and the fun.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
What it's all about, like having that perfect blend of like my mom was a disciplinarian, yeah. And my dad was the fun.
Yeah, so you always knew, like you knew, like, all right, we want to go out to the movies. We're not gonna ask mom.
No,
she'll your go to answer.
I'm grounded
is no.
At mom's house, but at yeah. Dad's house,
killing it,
chilling.
I love how you're just assuming that me and my wife are going to divorce now. Like, well, the kids.
No, that's my perspective.
Oh, okay. I was
my
like,
parents are separated. You guys are going to be fine.
Yeah, I'm like, well, the kid's going to ruin the marriage, obviously. Like, we won't tell.
You guys won't last.
We won't tell the child that.
We know it won't last.
I had this moment on stage the other night at the Comedy Store where I do this bit where I love to hear how you met stories. So I ask couples in the audience how they met.
Yeah.
And then I do a little commentary on it. And I looked at this couple like, hey, you guys dating, married? They got married. How long? And they had gotten married like a week before my wife and I had. So I just looked at them. And then in this most honest moment, I just went, you know, statistically – either you're not going to make it or me and my wife aren't going to make it. Like, this is going to happen. Like,
yeah, this
one
is
of,
a fact.
Yeah, this is a fact. One of us is not making it.
And one and a half of us won't make
it. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like 64%.
Yeah. And then, so like, when I said that, there was this moment where the woman immediately, the woman immediately looked at the husband like he had done something wrong.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, it's obviously going to be us, and it's because you're cheating on me, you asshole. Like, I'm like, all right, well, so I just broke up a marriage.
And in that moment, did you go, yes.
Yeah, like,
we're
not
gonna
me.
Babe, we're going to make it.
Not me. See, that's my goal, is I have to break up all these couples because then statistically, I'm going to make
off
it.
Off the hook.
We were having a little argument the other night, my wife and I, and she said something along the lines like,
"Who is delightful,
like,
by the way?"
She is. I say that, but of course, it's funny. Like, I was describing the argument to a mutual friend we have, Justin Martindale, and then
I love that bitch.
He immediately told me, he's like, "If you leave I will fight you," because like he loves her, everyone loves
she's
her.
She's so great. She's good for you. She's a very grounding force.
She's wonderful. So yeah. we're having a fight, and at one point in the fight, she goes like, "I've seen you destroy hecklers and like make people question their will to live." She's like, why, like, when you fight, you're always like holding back. Like, you never
with
come
her?
At me. Yeah, like, you never come at me. I'm like, yeah.
Because I love you.
Because I love you. And if I destroy a heckler, no, nothing bad happens to me. If I destroy you in a fight, I lose half my shit. There's something.
Also, your dignity.
Yeah.
For, like, destroying your woman.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's
like,
not going to be good.
Like, so you're to treat your wife in an argument like a, you treat a heckler?
Yeah. No.
How have you dealt with hecklers? Like,
oh, I've sent them away crying.
Do you have any go-to, like, stop lines?
Oh, well, like, I don't know if I have lines, but my definite technique is I ask the heckler questions because they're eventually going to say something that's just – it's completely stupid.
They bury themselves.
Yeah, and then you jump all over them.
Yep.
So that's my general that's my general technique.
What about dealing with
then,
your wife when you're arguing with your wife? How do you handle that?
I lay down. I get into the fetal position, and I just say, verbally rape me. That is how I deal with fights with my wife.
Your marriage is gonna last.
She's a psychologist. She's also a fourth degree black belt in taekwondo. There's no way I could win at anything,
dude. You like
so
to be
I just
beat up.
Don't.
She beats you up like mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yeah. I get cuckolded by thoughts.
Great word. That's the first time that word has ever been really? Said on this podcast.
Oh, that's
cuckolded?
Yeah. Cuckolded by thoughts.
What? There's a special title. That's a great special title. Every time there's a comedian on here, they create their own special title.
Cuckolded by thoughts. That's mine.
Do you want to know Katie's second bit of note on you?
Her second note?
Second Brad note?
This will be delightful.
I'm going to read the whole thing because she took time.
All right.
Started comedy because he went to a Carlos Mencia show.
Yep.
And Carlos was making fun of dwarves.
Yep.
And then brought Brad on stage. Yep. And Brad made some jokes, so Mencia brought him on the road as his opening act.
Yes.
That's fucking insane.
That's a true story. I was 19 years old. I went to the... It was Father's Day.
Was this pre-Rogan or...
Pre-Rogan.
Okay.
Yeah, pre-Rogan, about 3 years pre-Rogan.
So you didn't know the depths of the Carlos Mencia mania?
No.
Got it.
Nothing. I went, I was 19, so that's 15 years ago, Father's Day of 2000, and would that be 4 or 6?
Oh,
I don't know.
Terrible
I
at math.
Forget.
I don't even know what month it is.
I forget. What is 2019 minus 15? Someone do that math. 2004? Yeah.
That's why we got Katie.
Yeah. Someone without a mic. So Father's Day... Father's Day 2004, and I'm in the audience. I bring my dad to the show, and Mencia starts making midget jokes, and the audience that is sitting around me is not laughing at all because they're just like,
And what are you doing? How are you
I'm
feeling?
I'm cracking up.
You are?
They're great jokes. And Mencia notices that, and he goes, you guys aren't laughing. He goes, is one of them here?
One of them here.
And I just raise my hand like, what's up? And he called me up on stage. He started asking me questions, and I answered them. And my answers got laughs from the audience. And it was at that moment where I just looked at him. I was like, I'm going to be a comedian, just so you know. Like,
did you know prior to going on that stage?
Nope.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah. And then I was like, I'm going to be a comic. And he goes, all right. So fast forward. Like, that's an abbreviated version of the story. Fast forward to a year and a half later.
God damn it, Katie.
Yeah. Fast forward to a year and a half later, I go to a show. I've been doing stand-up now for a year and a half. He sees me before the show, and he goes, hey, you're that guy from, like, a while back. He goes, didn't you say you were going to be a comic? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, did you ever start doing it? And I go, yeah, I've been doing it for a year and a half. And he goes, oh, do you want to open up my show tonight? And I go, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I do.
yeah, so oh, yes, please.
I go on stage. I do between 3 and 4 minutes. That's a guest spot. And when I got off stage, Mencia goes, all right, do you want to be my new opening act? And the next weekend, I was doing Bakersfield at the Fox Theater to 1,200 people. Like,
that was
my initiation into comedy.
And
it's
at that
insane.
Point with Mencia, was there chatter about him being a joke thief then?
Nope. Not
years?
Not that I had heard, but I was brand new in the business.
That was like 2009, I think, around the time that thing happened.
And here's what I'll say, because obviously I was about to relate Mencia to Cosby. That would have been
go,
horrible.
Go with it. Go
well,
with it.
All I'm saying is that like now it's this thing where like whenever you talk about Cosby, even if you're talking about the stand-up that's fantastic, you have to stop and go, but raping's wrong.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you have to compartmentalize that.
Yes.
Because he did. There was a time before we knew what he was doing.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of children were raised by Cosby.
Yes.
Essentially, because of that show was so influential.
Yes. But then when you talk about it, yeah. You'll be like, yeah. And so I say, like, there's shades of gray to people. I'm not going to change any minds about what they feel about Carlos Mencia, but I will say this. The story I just told is true. He brought me on the road as a guy from the audience. I was his opening act for 4 years. He gave me a job on Mind of Mencia on Comedy Central. When I was on the road with him, he'd pay for the hotel, he'd pay for the flight, he'd pay for clothes, he'd pay for food.
Wow, dude.
Like, everything.
I would not expect that. Just
everything.
I'm basing it off of that one thing.
Exactly. So with people, I always say they're shades of gray. It's okay for you to feel about someone the way you feel because of a certain incident,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that other incidents that are good don't also exist.
Right, like it's like the one incident, I see how you're like comparing, because like obviously the Cosby thing was...
The worst. If you had to choose, you know, does your daughter, who's a comedian, spend a night with Carlos Mencia, Louis C.K., or Bill Cosby? Yeah. There's a hierarchy.
Yeah. If I could choose between Mencia stealing a joke from me or Cosby stealing my consciousness. I just peed a little bit.
if you could make the choice, you would want to hang out with Cosby because your act is very good.
I'm exhausted.
Very good.
I wouldn't mind taking a nap.
It's, you know, so good.
I'm very busy. I wouldn't mind just a little.
And
calm
oh
out.
My god, yeah. that
I can write new jokes.
That quaalude sleep.
Oh,
it's good sleep.
You wake up refreshed.
You got a little,
I don't need under eye makeup.
No, you got a little cum on your toes,
god,
but whatever.
Nothing makes you look more refreshed than a Cosby nap. It'll come on your toes. Will Cosby come on your toes?
Yeah.
It tastes like pudding.
Yeah. And when you come, make sure it's on the toes. I don't come on the face. You might be blind in the eye. You might get pregnant. But come on the toes.
Katie's dying on the bed right now.
That's the thing. That's not even a good Cosby impression, but his voice is so absurd, it just works. Like, save your tweets. Don't be like, that was a horrible Cosby impression. I know. I do one good impression, and it's of someone no one knows who's outside the comedy business. I do a great Barry Katz impression, but no one knows who that is.
Do it,
Barry Katz is my manager. He's undeniable, man. Jessamé Peluso. This podcast is fantastic.
It's so good.
Let me tell you about my podcast called Industry Standard. We just had Kenya Barris on.
Kenya
Barris. He's got that show, Blackish. I'm a tall Jewish man. Am I a racist for saying Blackish? I feel like my voice has Down syndrome. Like, yeah, that's the best impression I do. And no one, like, I keep.
I know it.
And he's my manager. So I tell him, like, Barry. Yeah, I'm like, Barry, could you get more famous, please?
I know.
I need this voice.
You need people to understand.
I'm going to crush. Like, I'm going to be.
McFarlane was talking about him.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. No, because Bonnie, what you and Rich have is unbelievable. One really talented person, but both comedians. I won't say which one.
He's a class act.
It's Bonnie. We all know
Barry Katz. I feel like also Barry Katz, he's in that three group people that you should know if you do comedy. Barry Katz,
yep.
Jeffrey Gurian.
Yeah.
And what was the other one from the last podcast? It was like
Is it a manager?
No, it's Roger Paul. Do you know Roger
Paul? Wow.
All insider names, but these are
That's a reference.
Wouldn't you agree, like, those three people that sort of represent obscure, you know.
If you know all those people, you're
good.
Your career's doing all right.
Yeah, your career's doing all right.
Don't worry. I'll get you booked everywhere, man. It's going to be amazing.
Are you excited? Do you have your own show? Like, what are the shows that you're doing here?
I'm doing my own show at in a strip club. That's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Cafe Cleopatra, which is...
Ari did his show, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Jay had a show there, too.
Yeah, he does What's Your Fucking Deal there.
Yep, the crowd work show.
Amazing. Undeniable. And I'm just going to keep doing that. No one's going to get it. But, like, I'm going to do that. And then I'm on the Jim Jefferies Gala.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
So
I saw that.
Yeah, that's...
Explain what the gala is to those who may have not been to the festival.
Gala shows at Just for Laughs. It's at this theater here that holds 3,000 people. They film all of them. They put them on the Canadian Comedy Channel. And they're just... You pick one, like really famous celebrity comic. And it's like, so this year there's like the Hasan Minhaj Gala. There's the Jim Jefferies Gala.
Kevin
there's
Hart, yeah.
Like
Wanda Sykes.
People get galas, and then they put like five or six comedians on each one of their shows. Last year I did the Jeff Dunham Gala, and one of my favorite moments, maybe my career, happened. So Jeff doesn't know who I am, even though he's met me three times before.
I mean, meeting you once should be enough.
You think, but he. He also hangs out with puppets, so very similar size.
Exactly, but I still
very
feel
similar size.
Because of that, he should even recognize you so much.
Oh, the guy who's like my puppets.
Yeah, the guy who looks like somebody I work with.
Yeah, so he looks like young Walter.
It's sad. I had my hand up his ass?
Yeah. It's sad because Walter looks like my father, so that's really weird for me to say.
That's weird.
I'm doing the gala. I do my set. I go off stage. Jeff calls me back on stage, and he goes like, because he goes, oh my god, like that was great. Can I just take a selfie with you? And I go, huh? Like, we're in the middle of a show. They're taping. He's like, I don't care. So he brings brings his box where he sits the puppets.
Right.
He brings that. And he goes, here, get on this, so we'll be even level. And I go, oh no, I'm gonna get on that, but we're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
So I hop on and I go, Jeff, you stay in there and put your hand on my back. And then I start
moving. Did the audience lose their mind?
They lost their fucking mind. And then I started he and I started improvising together.
Right.
It was so much fun. At one point he stops and just starts laughing and goes like, this is the worst thing I've ever done. And I go, no, Jeff, I saw your second special.
Ah!
And I hope they left that in. And to his credit, he laughed like hell. It was a great moment. And then we took a photo of me acting like his dummy. And it's one of my favorite photos ever.
I was hoping that's where the story was going.
Oh, yeah. It was going with... And then he brought me back to his dressing room and was like, now I'm going to treat you like my actual puppet. And then bad thing. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, oh, God, what did he do?
Yeah, but that was...
Started petting you.
Yeah, so those are the gala shows. And then also I just got added to a roast battle. So I'm going to be roasting people. I don't know who I'm roasting yet.
Asked me to, and I'm like, I'm too scared.
You're too scared?
I'm scared. I'm not a roaster.
But what do you have about you that people can make fun of?
It's not even that. I'm not good at roasting. Okay. I'm not...
So you could take the joke. That's
fine.
Yeah,
totally.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would go on the show if the person could roast me, and then I also could roast myself.
Oh.
and see.
They roast you, you roast you.
Wouldn't that be a fun version?
God.
Who roasted me better?
You just find comics with the worst self-esteem.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, you don't get the fire back. You just get the fire back about yourself.
These are going right back at me.
Yeah.
Just don't have that. I'm not, I've judged it at the Comedy Store a bunch.
Yeah.
I have fun with that.
That's fun.
Because, there's that communal thing with the judges. Right, and we all just work off of each other. But I don't have that skill. I don't have those quick zingers.
It's a different skill, and that's why I want to do it.
Yeah, you'd be great at it.
Yeah, I've done it twice.
Only twice?
Yeah, once against a Canadian comic named K. Trevor Wilson, who looks like if the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and the Brawny Man had a baby.
Oh, single? That's hot. Strong and fluffy?
Oh, yeah. Very, very strong. Very,
yeah.
Very fluffy. Very
and
big.
Sweet?
Very big red beard. Very sweet.
Thick knuckles and sweet. That's my prerequisite.
Thick knuckles and sweet. That's a great special title. Thick knuckles and sweet? Or it sounds like the worst Starbucks order ever. I'll have a grande frappuccino, thick knuckles and sweet. What? How do you take your coffee?
It's foam. It's
thick,
foam.
Thick knuckles and sweet. What does that mean? There's two walnuts in it. Come on.
Come on. You know exactly.
Pull your head out of your
texture.
Ass.
There's texture.
Yeah. And then did him and Kurt Metzger. And then that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that must have been you and Kurt against each other?
Yeah.
Did you destroy him?
I won that one. Yeah. I lost to K. Trevor. I won against Kurt.
Kurt's one of those guys that could be good at it because he just doesn't give a fuck about saying something about somebody.
Obviously. Google him. You'll find out.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Two shits.
Your feelings? What feelings?
Yeah. But also, I was like, I was actually kind of disappointed because he just went after my height, and I go, I got so much more.
Yeah.
You know, I opened for Mencia. I got an Asian wife. We met on a threesome app. Come on.
Do some work.
There's some stuff that you could pull up there. Come on. I got a dog that's the size of a horse.
Do you?
I've got a 70-pound pit bull. It's the size of a horse to me.
Do you walk him?
Yeah. It's the greatest.
He must be the ultimate alpha.
Oh, my God. People watch me walking a pit bull like that cowboy that goes into town and then tames the one wild horse that no one could, you know what I mean? He just walks up and he starts
petting him.
Yeah. And he just starts petting him. Easy boy. Easy boy.
He's making all those weird noises.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you,
with breath?
And then you say some poetic thing that makes sense, but yet doesn't This one's got a lot of thunder in his heart. What? The fuck does that even mean? But you just say it with such confidence. He does. He does have a lot of thunder in his heart.
I can smell the thunder.
He does.
It's a lot of energy in that animal.
Yeah.
Imagining somebody who can't control a chihuahua, these people who have these unruly, women who have just chihuahuas that are complete assholes, and then seeing you walking calmly down the street with a pit bull.
And he's trained, too. He's great.
It's you, bitch.
Yeah.
You're the fucking problem.
It's you. It's you.
Never not you.
I love that. This may be my ego talking, which means it is. But do you get a secret pleasure out of if a comic comes off stage and goes, that fucking crowd, man, no one's going to get – the crowd's shit. That crowd is shit. And then you go on stage and have a good set. Does that make, because that makes me really happy.
It,
when
you know,
happens.
I don't know if it's pleasure is the right word for me, but it makes me feel like validated.
Yeah.
And,
there you go.
And that, like, you know, there is some control to the, there's rhyme to the reason.
Yeah. You figured it out. You're good.
You figured it out. And, like, you know, I was talking about this with Bonnie McFarlane. Like, sometimes it is the room. Sometimes it's a quiet room or whatever, but more often than not, it's the energy you bring.
Yeah. I used to think it was the crowd sometimes, and I did a show in LA, and it was me and like two other comics that are really good comedians, and we all had bad sets, and we're like, this fucking room. And then Ian Bagg goes on stage
and destroys.
And fucking destroys. And at that moment, I was like, all right, it's me.
It's also like consecutive energy that sort of,
There's definitely harder rooms than others.
For sure.
There's more difficult rooms, but and that's the thing that always drives me nuts as a comic is like if I have a bad set, I know there's a way I could have had a good set.
Always.
There's some like you're playing some puzzle game and you're like this puzzle's impossible. No, it is.
It is possible.
It's possible.
Yes.
You may have to think. You may have to tinker. You may have to move some shit around that you didn't think you should. But there is a way to get
that
audience.
There's a way to get an audience. And it's a lot of it. It's just sort of like animal-human relationship or human-human relationship where it's about that initial energy.
Yeah.
Walking to the microphone.
Yeah.
Like just confident. What your body language is, your eye contact. They sort of figure it out within those moments.
Start taming it like my dog. Yeah. Easy audience. There's a little thunder in the heart of this audience. What does that mean?
He's petting the woman in the front row.
Yeah, why is he doing that?
Why is he scratching that man's jaw?
Yeah, start feeding the audience sugar cubes. No, he likes this.
And then you just slowly get up on their back. That's really what it is. It's like you're mounting a wild audience every
you're
time.
You're mounting a wild... Yeah, come to my show, audience. I'll mount you. I feel like that's a Brian Callen line. And then I mounted the wild audience. And I got in
and
there.
I'm a strong man.
And I was just like, easy, boy.
I'm mounting them.
Brian Callen is always on. When does he sleep?
I remember the first time I saw Brian Callen and he came off stage and I go, you realize that nobody could steal your act, right?
No one can.
Like, I can say the exact words that you just said that murdered.
It's his intonation.
It wouldn't have done shit.
No, it's literally, he is so much, his personality is so woven into his words.
Yeah.
Well, because he's also a performer.
Let me tell you about Brian Callen. I almost said Byron Allen.
I know, I was like, Byron Allen.
Let me tell you about the guy that owns the Weather Channel. People say it's hard for a black man to get a break in this country. A black man owns the weather.
He does.
He does own the weather.
That's wild.
Have you done
proof. Comics Unleashed?
I did. I don't think.
What was that like, dude?
Oh my god!
It's just the way everybody says. Where it's, I mean, obviously he's laying up all your jokes. There's
yeah,
no conversation.
He just turns to you and said, "So you had an interesting experience in the woods." And you're like, yes, I did. And then you just go right into your bit. And then that happens. Then he turns to John Lovitz, who's on that side. He goes, so wagons freak you out. And then you're just like, all right, let me tell you about wagons. And he just goes into it. That was a weird Lovitz. Hold on. I'll get it.
Let me tell you. It's like, he goes up.
Brad Williams. I have to say my name because I have an ego. Yeah. Thank you. There you go.
Do you do any impressions in your set?
I used to do
this
a Trump.
Is delightful.
I used to
I've
do a Trump.
I've never seen you do these.
But then, I don't know.
Do a Trump.
Best podcast. Just made podcast. Sharp tongue. Sharp tongue. Let me tell you who has a sharp tongue. Ivanka. Ivanka. Very sharp tongue. I felt it. I felt it in certain crevices of my body. But like me doing a Trump, I'm doing an amalgamation of Dana Carvey's Trump and Kyle Dunnigan's Trump.
Right. Kyle Dunnigan is such a delight on Instagram. He is such a damn delight.
I didn't know, like, and that's one of the reasons why I don't really do too many impressions of my act, because I can't figure it out. I need someone else to do it. And I go, oh, that's how you do that impression.
That's interesting. You don't get it from the source. You see somebody's impression of an impression.
All my impressions are just like my Barry Katz is an updated Jay Moore. Jay Moore does that one.
Yep.
Then there's a radio guy out in Los Angeles. His name is Ralph Garman. He was on the Kevin and Bean show. A lot of my impressions are just impressions of his impressions. Like he does an old movie star. If you don't know his his name is Ed Wynn. He was in the original Mary Poppins. And oh my goodness, he talks like this the whole time. I'm in Montreal, don't you know?
Like a serial killer.
Yeah, he might have been.
Not somebody I want to leave my child alone.
Yeah, so like that's someone that like I'm just doing Ralph Garman's version of Ed Wynn. So like every impression I do is just someone else's.
But I feel like if you can do somebody else's version,
I can.
Maybe it's
just
because they find those key parts. Yeah. That make up that person.
Yeah.
That's why you're able to do it.
Yeah, they find the verbal tics. Like, if you do a Charles Barkley, I'm doing Frank Caliendo's Barkley because he taught us that Charles goes, terrible. Like, and that's all
terrible.
You got. Oh, my God. Oh my. So, Shaq, man, he a knucklehead. And, like, he wants to shoot free throws. He terrible. Like, that's Caliendo's Barkley. That's not my Barkley. That's Caliendo's Barkley. My version of it. So, like, you find those little things, those little ticks, and then you go, oh, that's how you do it.
Do you have an impression of Stamos?
This is the only reason why you have me on the podcast, right?
I know you got his number.
Oh, I do have his number.
If you won't share it.
No. Nope.
Sharing is caring, Brad.
Not in this case. No,
here's the thing. You have him in a secret.
I do care, but I care about John's safety.
Yes.
So that's why I haven't given you.
Are you saying I'm going to attack John?
I'm just saying.
Katie would before I would.
I'm just saying that if we saw a news story where, like, crazed naked fan is found nude in John Stamos' bed, you would be in my first three guesses.
Really? Would Katie be number two?
Yeah. So, like, yeah, Stamos, I don't have an impression of him, but...
Have you had him on ALN yet?
He's our white whale.
He
is our Moby
Come
Dick.
Come on, Stamos.
We're trying so hard to get him on.
They want you. Get on the podcast.
Yeah, we want him to come on just because, A, we want him to confirm two things.
Tell me.
We want him to confirm that, yes, he is afraid of little people, but he's not afraid of me. Yeah. And he is. He
said that.
Yeah, he's afraid. He's afraid of little people.
Wasn't that Don Rickles' event? Where was it?
Yeah, that? Yeah.
It was at Don Rickles' birthday.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No. It was
Friars.
Rickles was there.
Right.
It was. I think I told the story in the last podcast where. No. It was Bob Saget's charity for scleroderma.
Yes. Yes.
Don Rickles was there, and Stamos grabbed me, grabbed me by the hand, ran me in front of Don Rickles and went, see, I'm good now. You know, just like, so.
And that's how you met him?
I mean, no, I met Stamos. This is a joke in my
how
act,
did you
but
Stamos?
I met Stamos backstage at the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. Bob Saget was going on, and Saget brought Stamos because they're butt buddies.
They're best buddies.
They're legit butt buddies.
They platonically snuggle all the time.
Penetrate each other. This is a fun word. Anyway.
It's a great word.
So,
they cockholded each other.
Yeah. And, Saget comes up to me, and I had never met Saget before at that point. And he comes up to me and goes, Brad, you have to meet John. And I'm like, sure, obviously, I would love to meet John.
And you started to get wet,
and then he goes, no, you don't understand. Like, John's really afraid of little people.
Fucking Saget.
So I was like, oh, okay, we're going to have some fun.
Oh, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, and I ran up when John wasn't looking, and I grabbed his leg, and I started humping his leg.
Oh, my God.
And to say Stamos freaked out is a mass understatement.
What was his face? Did he say something?
Oh, I have a photo on my Instagram. It's somewhere. If you go through, it'll be about 4 or 5 years ago. So you got to scroll through a lot, but it's there. And it's because after the incident, me, Bob, and John all took a photo together. And you see the look on Stamos's. He's still scared.
Like his eyes are dilated.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. He's like, don't let it touch me. Like, it's there. It's there. And then I got to do some work on the TV show To Tell the Truth, and Saget was on it. And I can, like, because so many people ask me about that story because I put it in my special.
Right.
They go, is that really true? And so I asked Saget on my Instagram, like, can you just tell the story?
Can you let these people know?
Yeah. And he goes, yeah, it's true. I was there. I saw it all. Happened.
Is that exactly how it happened?
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. There was no exaggeration. And that's the thing is people are like, oh, Brad, how do you write your jokes? I don't. It's just funny shit.
Life is drawn to you.
Yeah.
Experiences are drawn to you. What's one of the most absurd thing that's happened to you? Like whether it was with a fan, comedian, or something?
So the most absurd thing This was the very first joke I ever wrote. And I wrote is me just telling the story.
Right. Lived it and told it.
Where a guy, I was doing a theater tour. My high school theater class got to go to London to do some shows. Hashtag white privilege.
Yeah, where'd you go to school? Where the hell did you go to school?
I went to school in Orange County, California. Public school, but we're doing all right.
Yeah, but in California, they understand the arts. They understand the need for the arts.
We're doing all right.
Yeah.
So we went over there, and this guy saw me come out of an elevator, and I'm going to do a very culturally insensitive voice, but it's how he talked. And I think
you can do a culturally insensitive voice.
I believe he was Sikh because he had the turban. I believe he was Sikh. But he yelled. He saw me come out of an elevator and just went, "Oh, my God, it's a demon. Get away from me, you little demon." And just yelled that out. Legit yelled that out. And I had friends that were with me. That then looked at me. The friends looked at me like, "Oh my God, is Brad okay? He was just called a fucking demon." And then I ran after the guy going like that and chased him out the hotel. That was the weirdest thing that happened to me, and it's the first joke I ever wrote. And every now and then I still bring it up on stage. Just to be like, wow, first joke I ever wrote, still funny.
That's an experience that's so specific.
Yeah.
To someone like
who else has been called a demon?
Well, ask a couple of my ex-boyfriends. I'm sure I've definitely looked
ask
like
their,
a demon.
Ask their penises.
I don't know what they're talking about. My head just starts spinning on a swivel.
I call my dick the Kingslayer. No.
Do you feel like, because, you know, people always ask me, like, being a woman in this industry.
Being a woman.
Has it been a crutch or
being,
has it been a curse?
Having a vagina.
Yeah. Do you feel like because
having
you're a dwarf, some
tits.
You've had downfalls? Or?
I mean, here's the thing.
How has it worked against you? How has it not?
Well, yeah, because that's the thing is people have asked me that. And I go, well, it's both. It's both a good thing and a bad thing.
How is it a bad thing?
It's a bad thing because... people can't see me beyond just the dwarf jokes.
Right.
Like, they can't see, like, they don't see me necessarily as leading man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
As a man with a broad perspective.
Yeah, they're like, well, that's this thing.
Or point of view.
Yeah. But then it's great because unless you're Jeff Dunham, nobody forgets me.
Yep.
Like, I'm very...
Unless you're Jeff Dunham
and you're just surrounded
like
by...
Which also sounds like a little bit of a Hollywood move on his part. He's like, I don't know who you are.
Okay. I met you before. What?
Yeah.
Nobody forgets me. So once you meet me once and you see me once, you're like, yeah, Brad Williams. I've seen that guy.
Yep.
Even if you see other dwarves on the street, you go, is that Brad Williams? Oh, shit. No, it's not. So that happens. But so that's the advantage. And it obviously there's some jokes that you can make off the bat. I mean, hell, my first two CDs and definitely my first special, the vast majority are dwarf jokes. I got like 3 hours from this shit. And then the last two have been more broad and more about other things. But it's weird because, like, the... I don't know, like, when you read your YouTube comments...
Rogan gave me that bit of advice.
Don't do it.
Don't ever read any comments.
Yeah, because I see shit, and the one critique I get pretty often is like, oh, let me guess, it's going to talk about being a dwarf. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm reminded about that every day of my fucking life.
Right, and to make you fuckers stop making such a big deal out of it.
Yeah, I have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Every time I do an interview... Every interview I do, like, it's like Katie saying, he's a dwarf. Like, it's line one.
Note.
It's line one.
It's right here. It's so line we got, one. See, it's right there.
Yeah.
Like, Brad is a dwarf.
The fact you took the time to write that.
Such a bitch. She's so great, though.
And you know, after she wrote that word, she went, nailed it.
Yeah.
Thought to herself.
No, she did.
So, like... Yes, that is. It's always going to be a part of my act. Now, will it be my entire hour? No, I'm going to talk about a bunch of other stuff. In fact, if you go through my act, there's life moments that have happened to me on each one of my specials that like I do some dwarf jokes up top because hey, let's address it.
Yeah, why not?
And then I go and that I go off that life moment and then that dictates the rest of the special. So yeah, I'll always talk about other things, but I'll always also talk about being a dwarf because also I don't know how to write jokes from the perspective of a 6 foot two tall white guy.
Yeah,
like I don't know what that is.
Yeah, how would you? It's first of all a visually different POV.
Sure.
And also just the people life experiences, like
they're different.
It's not like, you know, people look at a 6 foot tall white guy and they don't have shit to say. They're not going to come at him yelling to him that he's a demon.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Joel Osteen and you're a liberal.
Good reference.
Thank you. I like that one.
Joel Osteen.
I think it's such a unique perspective that needs to be heard because it's such a unique voice in comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like specifically unique.
Well, because when you tell, because like when you say like, oh, you're a fat guy, you can name off five fat guy comedians
or
you're a lesbian, oh, you're whatever. Like dwarf, it's like,
ooh.
Me?
I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, there's me. There's Tanya Lee Davis, who mostly tours in Europe. There's Nick Nowicki that doesn't do stand-up as much. He's mostly doing acting. And then there's a couple other dwarf comics scattered throughout the country. Like, and when I say a couple, I mean
like literally two. Like two or three.
Yeah, like literally like two or three that are like host, feature act level. And then that's it.
Who's the most famous dwarf?
Oh, Dinklage. Come on.
He's
on the
fucking
Mount Rushmore.
Talented dude.
I know, and I hate him.
Him at that.
I hate him for
Do
that.
You hate Dinklage?
Yeah, for that reason. Not because
he's
I'm
a
like.
Sexy man.
I also hate him for that. I like, and if Dinklage ever hears that I hate him, just know, Peter, it's because of all your good qualities.
Yeah, it is.
I hate you because you're sexy, because you're talented, because you've been able to turn down roles that are all about dwarfism. And you're like, fuck that, not doing it. And he doesn't. Good for you. I'm in awe of you. That's why I hate you. I need you. Like, I have that illusion that if, God forbid, Dinklage got hit by a bus, that they, or let's be honest, Mini Cooper, and... That they would just stop everything and be like, well, we need another one. Who's up next? And then just like, Brad. Oh, shit, that one. Like that. Like
it's a fantasy that's just in the back of your mind.
Yeah, that's the illusion. And for anyone who's in comedy, I do want to stress this. Whatever your thing is, if there's another person that does that thing, don't think that just because if they go down, you're the next one up.
Yeah.
It's not how it works.
It's not. There's literally even there's lanes for everybody.
Yeah,
there
you
really
have
is.
To still be good.
He was
That's
so
the only
good
way.
In Station Agent. Did you ever see Station Agent?
Of course.
Oh, God, that movie's so good.
I'm required to.
Do you see every movie he's in?
Yes.
You support all of it. It's good.
Me not seeing a Dinklage movie would be like you avoiding a film that was called The Jessamay Story. Like you're like, yeah, I think I have like, here's a story of a girl named Jessamay from Syracuse. And you're like. Pass.
Not gonna watch
it. Yeah, no, of course you would watch it. Yeah, I have to watch all dwarf-related media just because I have to know, like, what are people talking about? Like, what's gonna happen? Sometimes I hear about... See, now I have to... Now there's this other dwarf that I have to know about. He's
We're gonna take him down. Who is it? We're gonna take him down.
He's like a viral comedian. He makes, like... He makes funny videos. Dwarf Mamba. Dwarf Mamba.
Have you heard of Dwarf Mamba?
He's like an Instagram, and he does really funny shit. Like he does this thing where he's like having a pool party, and he yells cannonball, and he jumps, and then when he hits the water, it's the sound of a droplet.
There's no splash.
Yeah, and he's just doing the cannonball, and it's brilliant.
That's hilarious.
It's really funny.
That's really
and
funny.
And I love this dude, but like I have to be aware of what he's doing now because it's like, oh, what's
yep, you do.
What's his deal? Just so I don't do like similar shit or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and also just to know like what you know is going on
but,
out there.
So now here's a cool moment because remember how I said how I was discovered by Mencia? I was in the audience. So this is about 3 months ago. 3 months ago, I'm on stage at the Houston Improv, and I look out in the audience, and there's a dwarf in the audience. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm going to have some fun with you.
Does it happen often?
Not very often. Not a lot of dwarfs come to my shows. But when they do,
assholes.
Yeah.
Where the hell are you?
Fucking Joe Coy can sell out like three stadiums
All
full
the
of Filipinos.
Come. Where are the fucking Filipino dwarfs?
Come on.
Are you going to Joe Coy or are you going to go see Brad?
Joe.
What the fuck?
So I see him in the audience. And I start fucking with him throughout the show, and he's got a great sense of humor, and he has a couple of zingers that he comes and hits me back with, and I'm like, wow, this guy's really funny. And I stop during the show. I go, hey, man, just curious, like, what do you do for a living? And he goes, I'm a comedian.
Oh, shit.
I go, oh, you're a comic. And he's like, yeah. I go, this is right near the end of my set. I go, all right, come up here.
Let's see what you got, bro.
Let's see what you got. I go, I'll give you 5 minutes. And he goes, all right. And he walks up. I handed him the microphone. I walk down and I just sit and I watch him. He does 5 minutes of stand-up, gets a standing ovation.
Shut the fuck up.
Fucking crushes it. And then the club like comes and talks to him afterward, like, hey, so why aren't you doing our room more? And now he's getting booked more at the Houston Improv because of this night. So it's sort of come full circle. His name, it's going to sound like I'm making his name up,
oh,
but this is his actual name.
Shorty Little Person.
Not far off. His Shorty McNugget. That's his name. No, that's not his name.
I almost
his legal
died.
Name. His legal name
I'm not ready for it.
Is Clinton Shorter. Shorter is his last name.
No.
That's his legal
on his,
name. On his license, I saw it.
He should just go with Shorter.
Right?
Cut off the fucking Clinton part.
Oh,
that
how
feels presidential.
Oh my God. And then you just think to yourself, why did your parents have kids? They knew what was going to happen.
They knew. Fucking knew.
Like if my last name was, I'm trying to think of something that is offensive but not too offensive. If my last name was Amputee McAids, I would not have a kid.
Now, funny you should say that.
Because Amputee McAids, that's what he would come out like.
Amputee McAids. Which also, see, they have a show. Something.
Yeah.
They
oh, oh,
a
yeah.
Show at the off.
Yeah, they have a live here. Podcast this year.
They're here. They're doing a live podcast.
Amputee McAids. Yeah. Clinton Shorter. He's really funny.
That's
and,
wild that that full circle happened.
Yeah, and now he's doing. He's getting a lot of work like around Texas, and he's really funny. And I so want to one day just do a tour with him, and then just have like the dwarf tour. Like we go around in like a VW bug. And we have bunk beds.
And you've got
in the
like
back.
A little French bulldog with you.
Oh, of course.
Everything's little.
Everything.
Trial size Kit Kats.
Oh, always.
And like the little teeny, you know, like the little nail files they give you
yeah.
in hotels. Just a little
and
file.
Those little, and those liquor bottles when you go on a plane.
Planers.
Yeah.
That's the, you Shots. Guys only get drunk off of planers.
But we have to drink the bottle with two hands.
Yes. And you only get to eat sliders.
I thought about that the other day.
What would you call the tour?
Oh, my God. Half off. I was at a restaurant. I was on a date with my wife, and this particular restaurant had like these – like they're known for their sliders. That's what they told us. They're like, we're known for our sliders. And I was like, okay. And they had this slider flight where they give you like three sliders. They're all different. They're yeah. all incredible. And I'm like, all right, I'll take that. That's your specialty. The sliders come out. I pick up the slider with two hands, and I see someone staring at me going, of course. Of course. And that guy
– I pick up the slider
yeah,
with two hands.
With two hands. And the guy's just looking at me, and you know what he's thinking. He's like, I knew it! Like he's just like, oh. I was laughing so hard because I'm like, there are certain things I just can't do.
I think you're a bigger man
yeah.
for knowing that.
Arguably. But yeah. Exactly.
You
like,
are.
there's just that thing where, like, whatever your thing is, like, there are certain things that if you get caught doing that, you're kind of humiliated.
You're just like, God!
Yeah, like if you're Asian and you get into a car wreck and you walk outside and you're staring at your car, like you know that people are just driving by going, figures.
Yeah.
Like, you
Told
know
you,
that.
You can't drive.
You know
yes,
that.
Yes, you do.
And that's gotta suck. Because we all get in car accidents. It's happened.
Yeah.
You know?
You never look at the person when it's a white person and go, I knew.
Oh,
yeah. Like
yeah.
That poor guy.
Fucking A. But no, you see like a Chinese woman staring at her car. You're like,
you brought this on yourself.
She should have known better. You're like, really? So like, and there's certain things as a dwarf that I cannot do. One apparently is eat sliders. I can never buy a box of Lucky Charms with a straight face. You can't. You just can't do it. Like,
what's the third thing?
Oh my God! Things that I can't do.
What are things you can't do as a dwarf?
Oh, I can't. I can never take my kid to see a mall Santa. I can never do that.
Yeah, this is a really funny premise.
I'm writing
things
this
you
whole
can't
bit.
Do as a, it should be yeah. a coffee table book.
Yeah, things I can't do as a dwarf.
Yes.
I mean, and you're like, oh, things you can't do as a dwarf, like dunk. No, no, no. Not like dunk.
Like bring them to the amusement parks for rides.
Yeah. It's like, ah, fuck. Can't do that shit.
Well, what
you know?
You can do is you can pay it forward, and you did for another comedian.
Yeah, that's which is really cool. So all your sharp tongue podcast listeners, I hope they go and they find Clinton Shorter. I mean, it's hard to find him. You gotta look low. Turn under some stumps.
Put some lights on. Well, speaking of finding, where can my people find you?
You can find me on on the World Wide Webs. Go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. There are links to all my Instagram, my Twitter. My Twitter's at funnybrad. Instagram is at Brad Williams Comic and
specials.
I have a special on Netflix called The Degenerates. There's six comics that do a half hour dirty, filthy, offensive comedy. It's wonderful.
Right up my alley.
And then I have two other specials called Fun Size and Daddy Issues that are streaming right now on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, watch that.
Yep.
And
podcasts.
Podcast, the About Last Night podcast. You've been a guest on the podcast. We've had some amazing guests on the podcast. One day we'll have Stamos, and we will FaceTime you when he's there.
He knows not to have me in public because he fears violence.
Yeah,
he fears...
we won't tell you when.
It'll be the day after.
We'll look on your tour schedule. You'll be like, okay, she's in New York. We're safe.
She is in Australia.
She can't, can't make it here by the end of the podcast. Because if it's Vegas, you're like, no, no. I'm hopping on a Southwest flight now.
It's an hour flight.
Yeah, you're good.
I will grab a flock of seagull and take myself to their necks. I love you, Brad. You're fucking hilarious.
Love you. I love that we did this podcast in another country.
Yeah, we're in another country.
That's fantastic.
And that we're sharing a producer.
Weed is legal here in Montreal.
Absolutely.
Just letting you know.
I've been high every day with Big J.
He's the best.
And I just want to get high and watch you two hold the hands walk down the street. Things you can't say to a dwarf.
Now I want to go do that. Let's go find Big J and do that.
Let's go get him.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
Okay, bye.
Bye.